John chapter 14, going to read the first three verses here, and then we'll flip over to Acts chapter 1, a couple verses over there. Going to talk to you, I'm going to give you some truths about the rapture. All right, some truths about the rapture here in John chapter 14. Look here in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now flip over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, look here, starting in verse number 9, the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. Here in Acts chapter 1, look here in verse number 9. "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So I said, I'm going to tell you, give you some truths about the rapture here this afternoon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for allowing us to be here today, for letting us meet here in your house, Lord. And I do pray now that you use me here today. I pray you fill me with your Spirit. And I pray you give me your words here as we look through your word and get some truths from your words, Lord, to encourage our heart, to help us to look within our hearts, Lord. But as you're doing that, I pray, Lord, if there's some sin, I pray, Lord, you convict us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment, Lord. But I do pray, Lord, that this will be an encouragement, Lord, that, hey, this is our believer's hope, the rapture. You're not going to leave us here. You're coming back. You said so. And this that day could be today. It could be any moment. So, Lord, be with us now. And, Lord, we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me ask you, do you really believe what the Bible says about Jesus coming back a second time? You know, the first time he came back, people were not looking for him to come. But he came just like the Scripture said he would come. Jesus came. He was born of a virgin and he lived a sinless life. He was betrayed into the hands of wicked, sinful men, and he was arrested. He was beaten. He was mocked, and you know, he had his beard ripped out, and he was crucified on a Roman cross, and it was up on that cross, and he said, "It is finished," and he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost there. Those Roman soldiers came up to him, and they were going to break his legs in order to speed up the death process there, but they came to Jesus, and they noticed that he was already dead. So to ensure he was dead, all right, he didn't just pass out, he was dead. They rammed a spear up his side and blood and water came out. Hey, he was already dead, all right. But they took Jesus down from that cross and they put him in a tomb. They buried him in a tomb and they rolled a huge rock over the entrance of that tomb with a big old stone and they sealed it so nobody would go in. But 3 days later, we know what happened, don't we? 3 days later, he arose from the grave. Right? That rock came out, that seal came on. Jesus Christ arose from the dead. He arose victorious. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the devil. And you know what? For 40 days, he showed himself very much alive on this earth. And after 40 days, he ascended back up into heaven. And we read that here in Acts chapter 1. We read that. But Jesus is coming back, the Bible says, in this very same like manner. And when he comes, the second coming of Jesus Christ, right? We need to continue that on Wednesday, looking at that, the second coming of Jesus Christ. But when he comes, he's coming to fight the fiercest battle of all time, the battle of Armageddon, and he is going to defeat the armies and the kings of those that have rallied up to defeat him, and he's going to cast Satan into the pit for 1,000 years. 1,000 years, yes, 1,000 years. He's coming to set up his kingdom, the millennial reign. 1,000 years, yes, Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years here on earth. But 7 years before the battle, he's coming first to get his bride. He's coming first to take her away with him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27 says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. What I'm talking about today is the rapture. The rapture of the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. And not one prophecy has to take place before Jesus Christ raptures the born-again believers in this world. And you got to watch who you're listening to on the radio. You got to watch who you're listening to on the internet, okay? Because they're becoming more and more and more people and false teachers out there that don't believe the rapture can happen right now. Right? There are people that say the mid-trib and the post-trib, all these other things, right? All these other things, but there is not one prophecy that needs to take place before the rapture happens. The rapture is imminent. It can happen right now. It can happen right now. Paul thought Jesus Christ was coming back in his day, and we are 2,000 years down the road. The very next moment, we could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving an account of our lives. We need to be looking for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. Right? As we've been studying along, looking at the Antichrist over the last few Wednesdays, hey, if you're saved and the rapture takes place, we're not going to be here when the Antichrist comes on scene. The rapture can happen, it will happen, and then the Antichrist will come on scene. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to live our lives just like that. Just like Jesus Christ is coming back today. If we truly believe it, and I ask you, if you truly believe it, do you truly believe it? If we truly believe it, our lives would resemble it. Our lives would resemble it. If we truly believe that the rapture could happen, I believe our lives would change. We would live more holier. We would live with more of a purpose. We would live to witness to people at the gas station, at the grocery store, wherever. But the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9 that the Lord is long-suffering. He is not like us. He is long-suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, the Lord wants all people saved. He died for all people. And it's our job to get the gospel out. Why? Because the rapture could happen. And in heaven, you don't have to worry about giving the gospel out. Right? You don't have to worry about passing out a tract. It's not going to take place in heaven. The time to do that is here. So let me give you some truths here about the rapture. I'm going to give you some truths. First of all, I want us to see, what is the rapture? Let's just keep it basic, all right? What is the rapture? Now, we read in John chapter 14 and verse 3, where Jesus says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So what is the rapture? The rapture is our hope. The rapture is the believer's hope that hey, Jesus isn't going to leave us there. He is going to come and take us to where He is. And the Bible says there in Acts 1:11, we read it as well, which also said, "You men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." The rapture is the promise. It is the promised sudden appearing of Jesus Christ in the clouds to catch his true believers, his true born-again believers, up with him. This includes the dead, and this also includes the living at this time. At that time, the promise of his return was confirmed by the angels here in verse 11. The angels confirm his return, and it's almost kind of hilarious if you notice
The question asked by the angels is, "You men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven?" Right? They're standing there talking with Jesus, and all of a sudden, he just kind of lifts up, and he just kind of, you know, he's gone up into the sky and up into heaven. He's just gone. Right? And imagine if you're standing here looking at me, and all of a sudden, I'm just rising up. I'm gone. Right? You'd be like, what just happened? How did that happen? Right? Same thing. And the angels are like, hey, this same Jesus is coming back in the same like manner. But what we have here is a Bible answer to the question, what is the rapture? The rapture is Jesus keeping His promise. The promise He makes here throughout Scriptures, but we read here in John chapter 14, in verse number 3, Jesus promises it, and it's going to happen. All throughout the Bible, we see Jesus promise after promise, but when Jesus makes a promise, you can count on it. It's going to happen. He's not like you and I. We make a promise and we break it like that. We easily break our promises, but not Jesus Christ. He will keep His promise. Three times, on the very last page of the Bible, in the very last chapter of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22, three times He says, I come quickly. In Revelation 22:7, He says, behold, I come quickly. And in verse 12, He says, and behold, I come quickly. And in verse 20, He says, he which testifieth these things says, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Even so, come. But the three times right there, hey, He's saying, I'm coming. I'm coming quickly. You better be watching. You better be praying. You better be ready. Because when you least expect it, it's going to happen. Just as sure as the sun is shining today and you can go out and there's blue skies above us, just as sure as that, Jesus is coming back just like He promises. In 2 Corinthians 5, in verse 8, Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You see, that is our hope. That is the believer's hope that, hey, when we're not in this body here on earth, hey, we're going to be with the Lord. It is a promise. It's the very thing that Jesus prayed for. If you're in John, turn to John chapter 17 and look there in verse 24. John 17, verse 24. The rapture is the believer's hope. But here in John chapter 17, here in verse 24, Jesus prayed. He prayed. Listen, Father. He says, Father, he's praying. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am. Hey, all those that are born again, that, hey, I pray that they can be with Me, that they may behold My glory, which Thou hast given Me, for Thou lovest Me before the foundation of the world. Hey, isn't that a glorious promise? Jesus prays the Father that we can go to be with Him. Now, the rapture... let me clarify, the rapture isn't the second coming of Jesus Christ to reign on the earth. The rapture is the snatching away, right? The catching up of those that have been born again right before the coming of the seven-year tribulation. In Revelation chapter 3, in verse number 10, the Bible says, because Thou hast kept the word of My patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. That's talking about the tribulation period. The tribulation period. It says, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So the rapture is both a promise, but it is also a warning. It's a warning. Okay, it's a warning that hey, we need to be ready because the day will come unexpectedly, and once the rapture of the saved takes place, what's left here on earth, those that were not saved, is the seven-year period of tribulation like never seen before on earth. God will pour out His wrath. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, the Bible says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Hey, what is the rapture? The rapture is the promise. God's not going to leave us here. He's coming for us. You know, and when you look in the Bible, there's a few examples of the rapture taking place. But I think of Enoch.
Right, Enoch, in Genesis 5:24, the Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He just took him out, right? He took him out of here. Right, the rapture, just a picture of the rapture, a sudden removal from the world. That is the rapture. Number two, I want you to see here, how will the rapture happen? How is this going to take place? What are the events that are going to take place? So if we flip over to 1 Thessalonians, we'll pick this account up here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Some of the believers in the church there were worried about those that had died and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they had died. And Paul's reassuring them, hey, their body went to the ground, but their soul went to be with heaven. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And when the rapture happens, hey, listen to this, is what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. He says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." This is how it's going to take place. Exactly like this is how the rapture will happen. "The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. Anybody got any loved ones that believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, but they've gone on to glory, right? Their bodies went to the ground, but they're in heaven right now. Their soul went to be with heaven, be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's saying, hey, the dead in Christ are the ones that are going to rise first. Amen. That's a glorious promise. But hey, listen, verse 17 says, "Then we," Paul's like, hey, "then we." Listen here, church, we, right? Paul believed we. Jesus was coming back now in his lifetime. We, all right? "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." We're going up together. Amen? We're going up together to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's exactly how the rapture will take place. He lays it out right here exactly. On that day, Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with a shout. He will come into the clouds. He's not coming all the way to the earth at this time. He's coming in the clouds. And remember, the angels in Acts 1:11 said he will come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Jesus will descend from heaven. He will shout, and he will be joined with the voice of the archangel. And I can just imagine, I can picture the scene in heaven. You know, all the angels are gathered around, all the saints are gathered around, and as they look at everything that's going on in this earth and this world, and they're like, man, these people have messed everything up. They've made it so messed up and difficult and all that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and now be saved. It's not religion, but they're looking over and they're like, how much longer, Lord, until you come back? Lord, why are you waiting for it? Come on back. And all the people are gathered around and the angels are gathered around. And they're just like, how much longer? And then finally, this day, the Lord descends from heaven. And I want you to notice that when the Bible says here that the trumpet of God will sound, there's going to be two more things that are going to happen. Right? Are you ready for those? This is exciting. This is amazing. But first we see the bodies of those that have died and were saved will rise. They're coming out of the grave. Right? All over the world, graveyards are coming open. Battlefields, there's bodies coming out of the ground there. All over the world, in the oceans, in the seas, in the lakes, in the battlefields, in the fields, all over the place. Bodies of those that died in the Lord Jesus Christ are coming up out of the earth. But you say, how is that even possible, right? They're dust to dust, ashes to ashes, right? Hey, don't you think that God, the Creator, knows where everything is from that person? That by all that DNA, He knows how to put it all together? I think He does. But that is an amazing thing. Hey, those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're coming up out of the grave. But you see here, it's only those that died in Jesus Christ, those that died in believing, that will be resurrected. It says the dead in Christ shall rise first. Is that not amazing? Is that not a hopeful, encouraging thing? But wait a second. I want you to see here. Wait a second. It gets better. It gets better. Hold on. It gets better. This is the part that I like. Amen. This is the part that I like. Hey, if you're alive,
If it happens today, right now, we're all alive.
Feel your pulse. I don't know, some of you I'm wondering about.
But if you're alive and it happens right now, this is the part. If the rapture happens and you're saved, you're going up, you don't have to go through the death process. Amen? You don't have to worry about dying in this flesh, right? We're going up. We're on out of here. Look at verse 17. He says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." Oh, that's a glorious promise. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." You get that? You get that last part there? Because that's the promise of John 14, verse 3. Right? That where He is, we will be with Him. We who are alive at the time will be caught up right after the dead are coming out of the graves, and we're going to meet in the air. Oh, what a glorious, glorious promise that is. Flip over to Romans chapter number 8. Some of you are like, how can that be? How can that happen? I don't understand. That couldn't happen. Let me show you here a verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 11. How can God raise us? Well, look here in Romans 8, verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit..." Remember, the Holy Spirit is part of the three, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you..." Do you believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Hey, the Bible says so. I believe it with all my heart. Why? Because the Bible says it. That's salvation. You have to believe He rose from the dead. If you don't believe He rose from the dead, how can you be saved? Yeah, you need a Savior. Muhammad's a dead prophet, not a Savior. He's dead. Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead. So, but if that Spirit, that same Spirit, right? "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you..." Right, and up in the verse 9 tells us, if you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. At the moment of salvation, that Holy Spirit of God is in you. That same Holy Spirit power that raised up Jesus, He says here, dwell in you. "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." The Spirit has power. The Spirit, that same Spirit that raised up Jesus, no doubt that same Spirit that raised up Lazarus, that same Spirit, no doubt, that's in the born-again believer, whether they're dead or whether they're alive, that same Spirit of God is the same Spirit that will quicken your mortal bodies. Now that word quicken, you know what it means? It means to be made alive, to make alive, to give life. This mortal body, even though I'm alive, you know, this mortal body, it's still corruptible. It's still dying in disease, and eventually, yeah, it's gonna die and go to the grave. Okay, He says it will quicken our mortal bodies. Our bodies will be made alive. That is the glorious promise you have. And if we pick this up in 1 Corinthians, we can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you flip over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look there in verse 52 and verse 53. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52 says, hey, this is going to happen quick, all right? This is going to happen fast. It says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Again, that Holy Spirit that dwells within us is going to change us. In verse 53, He tells us, "For this corruptible," this flesh here, "this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." At that moment, the rapture happens. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, hey, the graves are going to be emptied. Hey, we're going to be changed in that very same moment. No more dying, no more death, no more sickness. None of those things. Our body has been quickened. It has become made alive. It has been given eternal life in heaven, right? Death will have no victory over any of this. Now, the Bible teaches in these verses here that this is going to happen in a split second. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's interesting. In the twinkling of an eye, because we know what a blinking of an eye is. An involuntary blink takes about 1/50th of a second. That's pretty quick. All right? But an involuntary blink takes 1/50th of a second, and the average person blinks about 25 times in a minute. Okay, so let's do the math there. So the math is, that means that when Ricky Jackson's driving a 10-hour car trip at 55 miles an hour, he drives for 33 miles with his eyes closed. 33 miles. Oh, brother. Stay off the road. That's a scary thought. But now the twinkling of the eye is 100,000 times faster than the blink of an eye. All right? The twinkling of an eye. And that's what this says. That this is how fast the rapture is going to happen. The twinkling is the time it takes for light to glance off a person's eyeball. Basically, it's at the speed of light. It's at the speed of light, which is interesting as well, because in John chapter 8 and verse 12, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world, Jesus says. And so when the rapture happens, it's going to be fast. The speed of light is just going to be boom, gone. And everybody's going to be all around. Look, what just happened? This is what just happened, right? There's going to be no time to go get saved. There's going to be no time to go repent and get right with the Lord Jesus Christ. The same very voice that spoke the world into existence is that same voice that will be coming back. And when that voice sounds, death will not have a hold on us any longer. I'm reminded in John chapter 11 with when Jesus raised Lazarus, right? Lazarus was dead 4 days. 4 days, buried in the grave, grave clothes, all those things. Speaking. But you know what happened? Jesus showed up. Jesus showed up and everything changed. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus came forth. Out of the grave. Hey, that's a picture of the rapture. When Jesus speaks, hey, we're going up. Amen. That's exactly how the rapture will happen. Let me give you a third thing here. I want you to see the question here is, when will this happen? When will the rapture take place? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Nobody knows when this is going to happen. Nobody knows. Paul expected it in his lifetime. We're 2,000 years down the road. But the Bible says nobody knows. In Matthew 24, in verse 36, says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And you know, it's on purpose that he doesn't tell us. It's on purpose. You think about, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I got old enough to where my mom and dad would let me stay home alone or whatever. If they had to do something, I could stay home. And a lot of times, you know, they give you a list of things to do. All right, while I'm gone, I want you to make sure you run the vacuum. I want to make sure you do the dishes. Okay, Mom, but how long are you going to be gone? Well, but Mom, what time will you be back? Yeah. All right, so you tell me what time you're getting back. And I know in my mind, all right, that's going to take me 10 minutes. And so for 2 hours, I can do whatever I want, get in whatever I want to, as long as I leave myself 10 minutes to do those chores. Amen? Hey, we'd work the same thing. If God said, hey, the rapture's going to happen here, here, and here, hey, we'd do everything we want. And then at the very second, we would get right with Him. But the Bible says in Luke 21:36 that you need to watch. Watch ye, therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Hey, we need to watch. The fact that we don't know the day or the hour or the time, it's urgent. It's a calling. We need to be ready. We need to be watching. We need to be vigilant because it could happen right now. You're like, why does he always preach on being faithful? Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back and it could be today. It could be right now. Why does he preach on living a holy life? I just want to do what I want to do. Why? Because we're standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ the very next moment, at any time. Why do I preach on going and winning the lost? Because the majority of Macon is dying and going to hell. Hey, we could be standing in front of the Lord Jesus Christ at any moment. Time is running up. We need to be watchful. We need to be prayerful. We need to just be doing it. It should motivate us.
The very fact of the matter is of the rapture is that it should motivate us because time is about up. And Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 is a reminder. It says, knowing the time. Listen, what time is it? It's high time. It's high time. Knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Hey, the call today is to examine ourselves. Hey, anytime we read Scripture, examine ourselves. Anytime we hear preaching, examine ourselves. All right, what is the Holy Spirit of God trying to get me to see? What is He trying to open my eyes to? What is He drawing me closer to Him? What is He trying to get me to do? Am I living a life of holiness? Am I living a life of faithfulness? Am I living in obedience? Hey, the rapture can happen right now, and the fact of eternity hangs on the balance is right there. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, the Bible gives us, it says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Hey, listen, times are hard. Yes, they are. Times have always been hard for mankind. Times are rough. Yes, times are difficult. Yes, we have to fight the devil. Yes, we have to fight the world. Yes, we have to fight this and that and everything else. But listen, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Listen, when I got out of the military and we moved to Alabama, I knew the Lord wanted me to do something. I didn't know what He wanted me to do, but I sure couldn't be a preacher or a pastor because I couldn't do that. Right? But I began Bible college and I began to get training. And as some little bit of time went on, and we were right there by a big army post, and there was a lot of people saying, hey, you can go get a job there. And you're retired Air Force. It'd be easy to get your job there. But I don't think that's what God wants me to do. I'm pretty sure God wants me to do something in the ministry, you know, and so there's a balance there, and I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, I just got out of the military. I could go do that same thing, but what is the value in it? That's what I said to myself. What is the value in that? If I got out of the military, why would I go back in as a civilian and work then? I knew God wanted me to do something for Him, you know. What is my point? My point is that right there. Yet you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Whatever you do for the Lord, it's not in vain. It's not in vain. You might feel defeated. You're doing it in the flesh. Get in the Spirit and you won't feel defeated. And you might be fearful. Get in the Spirit and it won't matter. Right? Anything and everything that you do for the Lord will not be in vain. Now this last point here, we got to pay attention to this last point. This is an important point. The point is here, number four, who will be raptured? Who will be raptured? In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 40, the Bible says, then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now the Bible teaches us that when the trumpet sounds and the Lord descends from heaven, some will be taken up, some will be raptured out of here in the twinkling of an eye to be with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. But the Bible also says that some will be left behind. One will be taken, one will be left behind. Well, why is that, you ask? Well, because the rapture is only for those that have been born again. Those that have been born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me now. You can sit in the pew for 50 years. You can sit in the pew for your whole life. That's not going to get you to heaven. You can still be left behind. You can sing in the choir. You can give your tithes. You can teach Sunday school. But unless you're saved and born again, the rapture will not be for you. You will be left behind. And the Bible warns us that there will be husbands taken and wives left behind. It tells us that a child will be taken and a mother left behind. It tells us that, right? Hey, a preacher will be preaching and vanish in mid-sentence while there will be others sitting in the pews of the church wondering where everybody went. This is not a fairy tale. This is the real. This is going to happen. Planes will fall out of the sky. Cars will crash. Chaos will be going on. And it's going to happen because Jesus said it's going to happen.
And those left behind, it's going to be an awful time. There will be mass death and killing like never seen before during that 7-year period of tribulation. All right? And you think COVID was bad. COVID got nothing on the tribulation period. So who will be taken? Who will be left behind? The answer is simple. All those that have been born again, all those that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior will be caught up. Those that have not will be left behind. Salvation is simple. God did all the work. He died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day. And the Bible says it's a free gift. He wants to give you a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. Getting to heaven is in Jesus Christ. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let me ask you this, Christian. We look at the doctrine of the rapture, and we look at this doctrine. This doctrine should change us. This doctrine should motivate us to look within, change our life. Where is it in my life that I need to draw closer to God, that I need to change? This doctrine should make us look within ourselves. Hey, am I saved or am I lost? Do I believe on Jesus Christ or am I putting something else in the place of Jesus Christ? Is Jesus plus nothing, minus nothing? For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So let me ask you, if the rapture happened right now, would you go or would you stay? Well, my prayer is definitely that there would be nobody left here at Gilead Baptist Church. My earnest desire, my prayer is that nobody would be here left behind, that we would all be up in the air and be with the Lord forever and ever. But let me ask you this, if that's you today, if you say, I know I'm going to heaven, well, let me ask you, are you living a life in such a way that if the rapture happened right now, you'd be glad to see Jesus? Would you be glad to see Jesus, or would there be some shame or regret there in your life? But whether it's wasted time or even unconfessed sin, whatever that is, there might be a little bit of shame there when that trumpet sounds. You know the song, I wish I had given Him more. Hey, he hasn't come yet. You can get right today. You can get right now. You can confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. It's a choice. Walking with the Lord is a choice. Living for the Lord is a choice. You either choose to do it or not to do it. But if that rapture happened today, Christian, would we be ashamed to see Jesus? If you're not saved here today, you will be left behind. If it happens right now, you will be left behind. One heartbeat, every heartbeat is just one heartbeat closer to being left behind. Hey, the warning is there. Don't leave here today without knowing. Without knowing for sure, we can show you from the Bible how to be saved. But let me tell you, the rapture, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Why? Because Jesus said it's going to happen. And it's going to happen just like the Bible says it's going to happen. But I'll leave you with this question. Are you going up? Or are you staying behind? The choice is ours. Let's